whole lot of talk. The interviews that rock. Brought to you by Rock Antenna, Germany's number one rock radio station.
Oh, where are you, sir?
We are in Portland, Oregon.
That looks like a high school back there.
It is Washington High School that they have converted into a club and a coffee shop and office buildings. And I believe we played in the high school. It's a big high school, but I believe we played in the high school auditorium. Is that right, Zane?
I think so.
I think that's right. Yeah.
Beautiful. How was the show?
It was good. It was really good. You know, Seattle, Portland, San Francisco, day after tomorrow. I mean, it's really, I don't know what the word is. It's very touching how some of the people that come to see us are so into it. And you can, you know, you can tell.
Mr. Bernardino.
Sometimes people just start like crying and stuff. And I'm like, is this good? Or is this, are they crying because they're happy or they like it? Or I don't know. Anyways, so far so good. We're about 10, what are we, 2 weeks into a 5 week tour. So
Mr. Pernan, do you remember the last time you were in Germany?
Do I remember the last time I was in Germany? Yes. No. God, that's a really good question. Anyway, back in the day, we played Germany a lot. Like, we really worked up a sort of a grassroots kind of a following, and we played clubs all over Germany. If I had to guess the last time we were there, I think it was at a festival or some such thing. But it's been a while since we've done a proper tour.
Yeah.
Of Germany, yeah.
It must have been 1995, if I'm correct. So,
wow.
It's time to return.
All right, yeah. Holy smokes. That's right.
Can you tell us something about the new record that you have, Slowly But Surely? I mean, me being German, I don't even understand the title correctly, I guess. Hey, nice one.
All right. So Shirley Muldowney is a drag racer.
Okay.
She was the first woman of drag racing. So, you know, it's racing cars and going, you know. Anyways, when I was a kid, I was really into dragsters. I don't know why. It's called the National Hot Rod Association. And it's like funny cars. And, you know, they just, for 33 seconds, they go a million miles an hour, and that's the whole thing. I'm really into the design of cars, and I'm not a big car guy, but I like Hot Wheels. You got Hot Wheels in Germany?
Yeah, there we did. Yeah.
Come on. So, anyways, the record was produced by Steve Jordan, and he produced The Horse They Rode In On, which came out in 1990. So it's interesting. You said 95.
Yeah.
But, you know, then we made a whole bunch of records and Grave Dancers Union and all that. And then I wanted to get back with Steve and get back to, you know, I don't know what's real, just the band, just playing. And, I was very, sometimes a record can be arduous, and sometimes a record can be like, I'll have a major panic attack trying to make a record, but not this time.
Okay.
It went pretty smoothly. It was really fun. We recorded all the tracks in Minneapolis, and then I went out and did the singing at Electric Lady in New York City, and then we mixed it at Electric Lady. And Nico Bolas was the person I called, who's Neil Young's kind of engineer and does all the sound. stuff for Neil. And Nico called Steve. I met Nico when I met Steve in 1990. And we were very excited, me and Michael Bland. I called Michael and I was like, guess who wants to produce the new record? And Steve Jordan. And we were like, that's so awesome. So yeah, it really worked out.
Is that circle coming to a close somehow?
I'm sorry?
Is that a circle coming to a close somehow?
It's a circle. But in a way, everything is a circle. So to that effect, it felt exactly like it was the right time for that to happen. But may the circle have. Yeah, I don't know. What is the song? May the circle be unbroken? I don't know. There's no end to a circle, basically, is why I like circles. You say you're coming full circle, which kind of means it all starts to make sense. But at the same time, a circle doesn't really have a beginning and an end to it. It's a circle.
Well, it is. Can you tell us something about a couple of songs on this record about Freak Accident?
Well, when we were deciding which songs to put on the record, I had about 50 songs that I kind of sent to Steve, and the band talked about it. And ultimately, I was like, Steve, you got to decide. And he kind of picked the songs he wanted us to put on the record, which is... Just interesting, because that's one of the things that a producer can do when you can't make up your mind. So we had 11, and then he's like, all right, we need one more song. What's the song that you guys play live that people really like that you've never recorded or never put out? And all three guys in the band went, oh, Freak Accident. So that's... We've been playing it. It's been around. It's one of the not brand new songs on the record, and also a record that, a song that is kind of road tested. So it's kind of interesting because some people know it already. But at the same time, we're playing enough new material that it's really great because it's been so... You know, with COVID and this, that, and the other thing, you know, playing new songs for people and watching them not go to the bar or go to the bathroom, or they can't, you know, they're sticking around. So it seems to fit in with the other material. And it's fun to play because there's no bullshit involved. There's like zero bullshit on this record. It's amazing.
When you said, you had 50 songs to come into making up this record and 11 are in this record. How many songs do you actually have in your vault? About 5,000 all in all?
It's so strange because I don't have a vault. So what happens is all these, I have cassettes, 4-track cassettes, then I have bat tapes, then I have 1/4-inch tapes, then I have 1/2-inch tapes, then I have 2-inch tapes, and then I have a whole bunch of drives with, kind of Pro Tools sessions and songs. It's hard to keep track of it because sometimes I'm just like, I don't know. But I'm constantly just kind of cranking things out and seeing how they sit, I guess, or if I should pursue them more. And I don't know. It's a lot of material. And some of it I'm just like, I don't say that's terrible, but I say, I'm like, whatever, Dave, keep moving on.
I gotta say, you have a big 6 in front of your age now. Is that just a number? Or is it a state of mind? Does something change?
Age is just a number.
Okay.
That's an Aaliyah record.
who I really like. And I think she was underage. And I think R. Kelly came up with that album title.
I'm pretty sure that's true. But yeah. No, I really like having the wisdom and having all the learning experiences. We have one guy that tours with us, and he's 24. And it brings me joy that, you know, we're taking him all around the world, and he asks a lot of questions. And that's exciting, you know. It's exciting for someone.
There's something I got to ask you, too. I mean, you, obviously, you got famous all around the world for, you know, Runaway Train. But when you look back at it, was this song a curse or was it a blessing for you?
It was neither. It was a song that I wrote, and people liked it, which I, you know, we were kind of a punk band that kind of got used to being agit. What do they call that? Agitprop? Agit.
Yeah.
You know, so that was interesting. And then, you know, I stopped playing it because I was like, I don't want to rely on that. I don't want to keep moving forward. Yeah. And people would come backstage and they'd go, oh, we drove 11 hours to hear our favorite song and you didn't play it. And I felt kind of like an asshole. So when it gets down to it, it's 4 minutes out of my life. And it's fun to play, and I like playing it, you know. So, yeah, it doesn't bother me.
Okay. You know, when you look in your audience right now, are there younger people as well? Do they rediscover or discover Soul Asylum for themselves?
You mean
a new younger audience?
Yeah. I mean, I've been noticing that we have a pretty good crowd. I mean, we just did a tour with a couple other bands, and it was all dudes. And sometimes on days off, we would go play at a club, and the audience was much more diverse, men and women, and this, that, and the other thing. So I really, really like the crowd that we have, you know. And I don't know if that's just who's willing to stick around or whatever, but people bring their kids, and I get that a lot, like mother, son, father, daughter come, and that's great. It feels good.
So when can we experience the whole Soul Asylum experience here in Germany again?
Pretty soon.
Yeah.
I don't have the dates on me. I just get in the van and I just go. But it is, I need to know this because we're going to Prague, and I've never been to Prague. And we're going to Poland, and I've never been to Poland. So that's a big deal for me. Because when I first started out, I was like, well, how many different places will I get to go if I don't fuck this up? And I guess we're going back to Australia, which is great. But yeah, I don't know. I'm going to be on the road for about a year. But it's on the, I don't know.
Okay.
Someone else in the band here, I would ask them, and they would go, oh, yeah, we're supposed to be over there a certain time, but that pretty soon, I think.
Hey, 30 years later is better than never, I tell you. We're looking forward to seeing you guys.
Likewise.
Can you tell us something about another song on the record that you had sort of a video? It's called The High Road.
Uh-huh.
There's you hate losing fights. I mean, who doesn't?
Yeah, I know, low blows and all that.
Yeah,
that's a good example of a song that I worked on for years, and I kind of started to putting parts together on the computer, the Pro Tools thing, and then I would go, this part is good, but I don't like that part, and you know, I can play drums and bass and piano and all that shit enough. I'm not good at any of them. I'm a jack of all trades kind of. So yeah, I got, and I can work the studio and the computers. So then Ryan Smith, my guitar player, came over to my house and I said, oh, listen to this thing I've been working on for a few years. And then I said, well, listen to this thing. And then I said, do you think this thing would fit into that thing? And he was like, oh, absolutely. And that's when the song was done. And that was basically the chorus of the song. So I was just working on those nuances of just how it comes off and feels and stuff.
Talking to you, you seem to be so relaxed and about pretty much everything. But do you think over all those decades that you were into in this business now and with all the success you had, do you think you got everything you deserve?
What do you mean?
Is there anything where you wish, like, yeah, well, we should have done that, or, you know, is there anything you regret, or is there anything you were like,
I was saying that I just told, like, the president of a record label to fuck off. It's punk rock, and I was like, fuck that. You can't tell me what to do. And that was totally unnecessary. I was just trying to be, you can't tell me what to do. But it wasn't really, it was an edit in a video. I should have just said, I don't care. So I used to be a little more intense about stuff like that. But no, I mean, you know, I just consider myself very lucky to still be making music, because that's what else to do. So I'm sure I screwed a lot of stuff up. It's in the first song on the record. It's like, how I fucked up somehow. And we couldn't play it on that radio station in Seattle because the FCC says you can't say fuck still on the radio.
So, you can over here.
All right. Fuck it right on.
So is there anything you want to achieve still? Anything you haven't done yet?
Mm-hmm. I want to jump out of a plane, you know, parachute. Not really. I just want this band to continue. It's what makes me happy, and it's my life. I put my whole life into this. So as long as I can keep doing this, I'm okay. I'm cool. I don't have a lot of expectations. I don't need to reinvent the wheel. You know, although that would be cool if I invented something awesome. That maybe that's what I want to do. Cure cancer. I think that's on my short list.
That's great. Well, as I said, I hope we're going to see you guys over here next year then.
Thank you
very much for taking the time.
And thank you.
Good luck for the shows, and fly safely over here to Germany.
We'll see you in Germany.
Whole lot of talk, the interviews that rock. Subscribe to our channel for more rocking podcasts.